Saturday night prayer meeting of this month and had a good season of prayer, I felt like. The Lord really moved in a special way and helped us. And I'm very thankful for the way the Lord touched us last Saturday night. I'm looking once again for another move of the Spirit, and that He would visit us around these altars and help us by the grace of God to pray and intercede. I want to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 16, if you'd like to read there with me. Numbers, chapter 16, and verse 41. And I'll tell you, this service, I believe that prayer opens up heaven where that anything is possible. And so somebody could be healed, somebody could be saved, somebody could be filled with the Holy Ghost, someone could be healed of wounds in their heart that they've carried around for years and years. A lot can happen in a prayer meeting. In fact, I think the case could be made that the day of Pentecost was a prayer meeting. And 3,000 souls were saved and the church was empowered in a great and mighty way. In Numbers chapter 16 and verse 41 is where I want to read. It says, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, 'Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment.' And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun.' And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." Amen. I want to preach on this ministering of intercession, or standing between the dead and the living. Standing between the dead and the living. Let's look at the occasion of this plague that went out. The occasion was that Korah had complained, rebelled, and he and his family and the rest of those that have come up against the Lord's anointed, Moses and Aaron, had went against authority that God had set up. And they thought that they was just talking and complaining about Moses and Aaron. They found out that they was complaining about God, because Moses and Aaron was who God had chosen to lead the children of Israel. Be that as it may, God judged Korah and his family. I'll tell you, it's amazing to me how that the children of Israel complained and blamed. Amen. God led the children of Israel here and there, and they complained and blamed, complained and blamed. Let me tell you something, complaining and blaming is an act of the flesh. Amen. It's not a work of the Spirit. Don't act like you're spiritual by complaining and blaming. Amen. Talking about other people and complaining about what's going on. God led them to the Red Sea. He did. And they complained and blamed Moses for bringing them there. And guess what? God brought them there for a miracle. It seemed like after a while the children of Israel would say, Hey, we're at bitter waters. Looks like it's about time for a miracle, Moses. Praise God for the miracle that's coming." They didn't ever do that. They always complained and blamed Moses, and it wasn't even Moses' fault. And so, you know what? They got to the place, they got so used to complaining and blaming. When the earth opened up and swallowed this company of rebels, you know what they did? On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of God," as if they could do that. We got a secret button we push to swallow folks up that complain. Really? Y'all must believe that, or y'all ain't following too close to me. I mean, as if Moses and Aaron could have done that. I mean, come on. It was impossible, but they were so used to complaining and blaming that it didn't matter. You know what? Complainers and blamers get unreasonable. They get really, really, I mean, if they step back and look at what they say and do after a while, I'll tell you, if they live long enough to become sane again, they're going to figure out what they're talking about don't matter to a hill of beans. Boy, y'all are quiet. Are y'all guilty? What in the world's going on here tonight? Amen. God bless your heart. I thought I was preaching to the children of Israel, but maybe I'm not here. But let me go on just a little bit. God judged those who would not accept the authority of these men. And on the day that they were taken in judgment, the next day they complained and blamed, and God sent out a plague amongst those complainers and blamers. Let me tell you something. You rebel against God, you rebel against God's way, there is judgment coming. You can mark it down. Just because you got away with it today doesn't mean you're going to get away with it tomorrow. Doesn't mean that next week or next year you're going to get away with it. There's coming a day of judgment. And these people right here had a plague go out from God to destroy them. Now let me be honest with you. Hey man, I admire Aaron and Moses greatly, because when they detected that a plague was going out, they fell on their face before God and began to intercede for the people. In fact, the instruction came from Moses: get fire from off the altar, place it in a censer, and go out in the midst of the people and wave that censer so that there will be an atonement for the sins of the people. And while that Aaron ran out among the people with his censer, the Bible says the plague was stayed, and he stood between the dead and the living. Let me tell you something, church. We need a group of people that's willing to go out and stand between the dead and the living and pray and make a line in the sand, so to say, and let our prayers go up before God to rescue the lives of those that are in danger. There are many people that do not even realize what great danger that they are in. They do not understand what great judgment is heading their way. Brother Tim Brim called me today, and he's talking about how good a pastor Brother Shad was and how good a church house of prayer is, and he's talking about how good this area is, blessed with good churches and so on. I said, well, we've got a lot of good people right now, but we will have to give credit to people of bygone day that prayed for us. Amen. That prayed and kept some things away from this area. Amen. We will never know how many things Willie Bond prayed away from this area, prayed away from our church. And I believe that those prayers are still in effect. I'm just going to ask you here tonight, Fairland, is there going to be some that will arise that has the same burden and will say, we will go and stand between the dead and the living and make intercession so that there can be people rescued from the plague that has come? I have to admire Aaron for risking his life. Amen. For those who complained about him. Amen. He went out in the midst of them while the wave of the plague was coming. And surely as he waved the censer, he had to see the death plague coming towards him. And he understood, amen, that death was was coming near him, and yet he stood there anyway and waved his censer. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, I realize it hurts us when folks go out talk about Fairland, and we know how much we've prayed for them, and we know how much we love them, and we know how much they break our hearts when they leave, and they go out and talk about us as though that there was something wrong with us. Brothers and sisters, this cannot ever keep us from going to the Lord in intercessory prayer and holding up these folks. Amen. You are the reason that some people are alive today. They're not alive because they're such good drivers. They're not alive, amen, because they're so strong and so healthy. They're alive right now because you have prayed and kept them from going to hell. Amen. Oh, don't stop praying. Amen. Oh, keep that sacrifice there. In this intercession, we'll have to say that Aaron became quite a bit like Christ. In fact, I believe I could preach a whole message about how Aaron is a type of the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who came down to this world that complained against him to the point that they crucified him. And he made an atonement for them. And he is still the dividing line between life and death for all who believe. And what I want to say by this is, since that he became a type of Christ by the way that he stood there, we as a church will become more like Jesus the more that we pray and seek his face, the more that we intercede for folks, the more our hearts are broken for the sins of this world, the more we will be like Christ, and the more people will see Jesus Christ in us. Can you say amen here tonight? Amen. Let's look at this plague. It has went out. I say that there has been a plague that has went out. Amen. Even amongst us in our church. There has been a plague of backsliding. Of folks going away from Christ. A plague that has hurt us. That has broken us. That has tore apart families. That has hurt in the deepest ways. I hope that y'all help me here tonight. Amen. Oh, we have got people that right now, if God don't rescue them and a church don't arise, amen, they are going to go to hell, and they're going to live in hell until they go to hell. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, sin is painting a rosy picture for many of people. There's got to be a church that arises and identifies the plague for what it is. It's destructive. It's going to tear homes apart. It's going to destroy this whole community. Oh, amen. This plague of backsliding, this plague that started among the children of Israel, started with others. And there is times when that what happens with one affects others. I've seen bitterness spread its poison through many a people, and folks have piled on innocent or maybe even guilty folks too much until that it was a great burden. Let me tell you something about talking, church. It'd be a whole lot better if we were too careful about what we say than too loose with what we say. Amen. And there are backsliders right now that hear people talk. The devil makes sure they hear what we say about them. And oh, I know sometimes things have to be said. Oh, let's be careful, Fairland, would you? Amen. Let's don't spread the plague of bitterness by allowing talking and gossiping to be amongst us. Amen. Other plagues poison people's lives. Amen. Some people get poisoned through movies. Amen. I remember one time there was a friend of mine, amen, that introduced movies to the youth group of a certain church. Got them watching movies. Got them going to the beach. Got them doing some things. Amen. They wanted me to pastor that church. And when I turned him down, he called up acting like he's trying. Hey, amen. I said, I felt like the Lord didn't want me to. But you know, later on, after adultery and after affairs and after the youth group was destroyed, hey, amen, that man was with a woman that was not his wife, watching a movie, and stood up and clutched his chest and fell down dead. And as far as I know, unless he prayed in the last few moments of his life, he went straight to hell. Let me tell you, there's a plague and there's a judgment coming one of these days. Amen. We need a church of intercessors. Amen. That'll stand against sin. That'll stand against unrighteousness. That'll stand against the impurities of this world. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to just stand against sin and stand against worldliness. Amen. By getting up. Amen. And making arguments. This is a spiritual battle. And folks are going to have to pray through till the glory of God comes down and sanctifies us and sets us apart from the world. I'll tell you why I'm holiness. It ain't because I was raised in a church that was 100% holiness and my pastor was 100% holiness. It is not because, I'll tell you why it is. It's not because even since I had a holiness standard that I hadn't had a chance to compromise. It's because I prayed through about it. Amen. And I've stayed prayed through about it. Amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Amen. I remember that holiness convention up at Bible school when I heard it taught and preached and I got down to the altar and prayed through about it. I didn't take a poll. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I tell you, polls don't work. Not when it comes to serving God. I went up to that altar and I prayed and said, God, it seems to be in your Bible. What is it? Amen. Teach me your ways. Show me your ways. Amen. And when I got it in my heart, I didn't have any trouble living it afterwards. Amen. Me and my wife got married, and the man that married us, amen, and the man that ordained me went worldly, and he called all the other young preachers that was around, but he never called. Amen. He said he didn't like you. No, I think he loved. He loved my wife, I know, whether he liked me or not. I'll tell you this, he knew there was no use in talking to me about some things. Amen. Because there's something deep. When you got a conviction about the Word of God being right, you don't want to rebel against it. When you got a conviction about holiness being right, you're not going to be taking a poll about it. You already asked the one that matters what it matters. Amen. There comes a time where we need a revival, a praying clear through about holiness standards and righteousness and keep it on the altar. Oh, yes. Amen. People get to spreading poison. Amen. By talking, complaining. Well, God bless your heart. I know this is a prayer meeting, but I'd like for us to pray through about some things. Amen. Flirtatious behavior may be done in a joking manner, but it's no joking matter. Amen. Flirtatious behavior can cause lust as well as immodest dress can cause lust. And I need to hurry on here. Amen. Because we need to stop the plague of sin and worldliness. Let me just tell you the simple facts. I've seen a lot of people go worldly down through the years. But none of them have challenged me by their spirituality. None of them made me want to go to church more, fast and pray more. None of them made me want to witness more. None of them made me want to get closer to God. In fact, I've seen a lot of complainers that complained about God's standards show that, and I say this brokenheartedly, there was deeper character problems. Bigger devils inside. Yes, sir, was. Amen. Yes, sir, was. I love them. There's a bigger problem with some people. Amen. Oh, if I could tell you, though, we got to stop this plague because we love people. We love folks. We got to stop this plague. It is our brothers and sisters and our family that's dying. It's people we went to church with. It's folks that we have loved. Amen. And we want to go to heaven with. Listen, you think of all the people that the plague has brought down to spiritual death. You look at the harm of it all. Amen. We can't stand back unfeeling saying, well, I guess that's just the way, that's the end of time. No. We got to stand up against this plague. We got to stand up against it and say no. Amen. I got to get out in the middle of this. I got to pray a wall of life. We're in a spiritual battle. Amen. Somebody's going to win it. The devil is. God is. The church is. Amen. And we need to have prayer. In Psalms 141 and 2 it says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Oh, let's pray until this place is filled with that fiery incense from heaven called prayer. I look at this man of God. The Bible says that he filled his incense and ran out amongst them. Filled his censer with incense and ran. Do you know he was 90 to 100 years old? And he ran. Oh, God. I'd like to get desperate about this. Oh, I'd like to become passionate about this. Hey, man, I text messaged a backslider the other night and I said, you need to repent. I need you to repent. There are so many people that are dependent on you. My heart is so desperate for you to repent. Hey, man, I was feeling it when I was ascending it. I will say to you right now, we got to get desperate. You say, I'm weak. I can't help it. There's people that's dying because of the plague. We got to run. Hey, man, and show a desperate about this. He came with a fire in his censer. Amen. Now incense can smell good all by itself. You've smelled it, hadn't you? I mean, you've seen it. It gives off a fragrance. I tell you, it gives off a greater fragrance when it's set on fire. And oh, prayer is good, even if it's just prayer. But oh, fiery prayer is so much better. Oh God, send the fire. Consume my desires. Amen. And make them but ashes. Oh God, send the fire of your desire and burn me up with prayer. Oh yes. Amen. Let my will die in the flame and let the flame of the will of God burn bright in our lives. Oh, we need that fiery prayer of praying in the Holy Ghost to save this generation. Oh yes. When I also end by saying this, you notice it was effective, but it's too late for some. I hate that. Too late for some. But if he hadn't acted when he did, it'd have been too late for everybody. Oh, God. Oh, God. We better act before another and another and another and another and another. There's a little girl lost, and everything that they saw, she was playing around a certain field. They looked and looked and looked and couldn't find her. Finally, they got a great big search party, joined hands, walked across the field and found her in the bottom of an old well. If I remember correctly, she was gone. And they said, what if we'd have joined hands a little sooner? What if we'd have walked across this field a little quicker? Oh, if we could have just found her a few hours ago. Oh, the plague has gone out. And I don't want to wait a few more hours. We got to have prayer meeting, church. We need to pray. We really do. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you start praying right now, church? If you're here tonight lost, the best thing could happen to you tonight is to get saved from the plague of sin that's in your life. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Hell is coming. And we don't want you to go to hell. That's why we're having a prayer meeting. That's why we're having church on Saturday night. We want you to go to heaven with us. Oh, we love you. We care about you. But more than that, Jesus Christ died because he loved you so much he didn't want you to go to hell. If you're here tonight lost, oh, my friend, I beg you, I implore you, would you hear me here tonight? You need to get saved from the plague. Amen. I give you just a little bit of time to decide your eternity. Amen. Who wants to be saved? Say, I'll come to this altar and I'll get right with God. I'll give my life to Jesus. That's what I want. Deep down in my soul, there's a tenderness. There's a crying out for God. Right now, here's the time to satisfy. Would you come right now? Church, raise your hand and ask God to move here in this service. Oh, God, you need to be saved. I'll tell you, the reason you're alive here tonight is because God preserved your life and because God don't want you to go to hell. Oh, would you come and pray? Amen. Would you come and pray? Would you come and be saved? Amen. Amen. Oh, my heart longs to pray with you here tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hey, my plans was just to take up prayer requests and call the church in. But listen, God has other plans. He wants you to be saved. That's his plans. And I want you to be saved. I don't want you to think that I didn't have plans for that as well. But I'm just telling you, God has plans for you to be saved. That's why you're here tonight. I was trying to get ready a message on prayer, and I thought, dear God, some of this sounds so stern. How in the world can I preach this? It doesn't sound like a prayer meeting message. Dear God, help me. I'll tell you why. It's because somebody needs to get saved tonight. That's why. That's why. If you be saved, you can be here tonight. You can be. Oh, yes, you can be. Oh, yes. Raise your hands one more time. Let's pray one more time that God would have his way in some soul's heart and life. Lord, please make them tender, Lord. Please deal with the lost here. Please, Lord, touch people's souls. Oh, God. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I still feel the Holy Ghost. I still feel the Holy Ghost. He's right here. Church, I'm going to take up prayer requests. But I believe we can keep in such a still-hearted manner that the Holy Ghost can sink in to folks' hearts. Let's don't get distracted. The Spirit of God's moving. And God can soften up their hearts right now in the Spirit. You got a prayer request over here? Anybody? Brother Shaw and Sister Shawsey. Yes, they are. Yes, sir. Let's pray for him, Josh. For who? Oh, Sister Beth went home sick. All right. All right. Anybody here? Brother Dole. Oh, yes. Remember as many backsliders as you can, brother. Gary Sears.